Would you please join me for our reading of Scripture? Today's reading comes from the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 8, verses 10 through 18. Please follow along in your own Bible or with the scriptures on the screen. Again, that is Deuteronomy, chapter 8, verses 10 through 18. Hear the word of the Lord. When you have eaten and are satisfied, praise the Lord your God for the good land he has given you. Be careful that you do not forget the Lord your God, failing to observe his commands, his laws, and his decrees that I am giving you this day. Otherwise, when you eat and are satisfied, when you build fine houses and settle down, and when your herds and flocks grow large and your silver and gold increase, and all you have is multiplied, then your heart will become proud and you will forget the Lord your God, who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. He led you through the vast and dreadful wilderness, that thirsty and waterless land with its venomous snakes and scorpions. He brought you water out of hard rock. He gave you manna to eat in the wilderness, something your ancestors had never known, to humble and test you so that in the end it might go well with you. You may say to yourself, my power and the strength of my hands have produced this wealth for me. But remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth and so confirms his covenant, which he swore to your ancestors as it is today. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
I remember when I was a little kid in Singapore going over to my relatives for my birthday or Christmas, and I would receive all these presents from my different uncles and aunties. And after I opened the gift, there would be a smile on my face. But I also remember my parents would immediately give me this look and say to me, what are you going to say to Auntie? And somehow I would look at them not knowing what they were implying. And my dad would sternly look at me and say, say thank you. As I responded, thank you, Auntie. Dad would open the next gift. And again, my parents would say, what are you going to say? Thank you, Uncle. And we all know, right, that as adults, that kids should express their thankfulness once they get something. I mean, it's a common courtesy to express gratitude, but as adults, many of us have trouble expressing our own thankfulness to other people. In fact, we live in an increasingly thankless world. And yes, most of us would say that we are grateful for the things that we have, or we do genuinely feel grateful when things are done for us. Well, we even know that it's important to be grateful, but we do a terrible job expressing that gratefulness to other people. And there are many reasons why we can be ungrateful, but here are four of the most common reasons. The first is the entitlement that we feel. People who feel like they are entitled don't feel a need to say thank you because they believe that it is their right to have everything, and they don't see the need to value the giver. Their attitude is that others exist to serve them, do for them, make things easier for them, or help them. And so when they do get what they need, that is what they expected all along. And so it is then on to the next request. And if they don't get what they want, then you will be sure to hear a complaint. And so it's hard to express gratitude when we exhibit this kind of attitude. This often leads to the second reason for our ungratefulness, which is we routinely take others for granted. When people do for us again and again, it can start to become an expectation. The first time someone helps us, we may be grateful, but by the third or fourth time, we almost expect it and rarely acknowledge what keeps being done for us because it has been done so often. Eventually, the people who help us end up becoming a means in order to accomplish what we want, as we expect them to keep serving us. The third reason is we celebrate our pride, ego, and self-reliance. Many of us can think of ourselves as the master over our own lives. We're self-made people, and so to give thanks means taking away from our own glory and shining the spotlight onto someone else. And for many of us, we don't want that because we are at the center of our universe. For example, at work or at school, we want to look better and more accomplished than our coworkers or colleagues. In sports, we want the attention when we win. And on social media, many only share the highlights of how self-made we really are. So the root of all ingratitude is the love of one's own greatness as we pride ourselves in our own self-reliance. Giving thanks threatens our self-reliance and it threatens our ego because we now have to acknowledge that someone else helped us to accomplish something and that we didn't do it at all on our own. And the last reason is that we don't practice being thankful. See, even though we may internally feel thankful, unless we practice expressing our thankfulness, the other person will never know just how thankful we are. It is easy to think that just because we feel thankful, that the other person should obviously know that we are. But that is the myth, because the other person doesn't actually know, unless we verbally say something as we acknowledge what they did. And unfortunately, instead of expressing our gratitude to those around us, many of us find it easier to express how unhappy we are or how our expectations were not met by those around us. But the reality is that many people think that they are thankful people. But unless we express that thankfulness daily to others, we are actually seen as thankless or ungrateful people. Because ungratefulness is the failure to recognize that something was done that deserves to be recognized. And it works the same way with God. The less we practice being thankful with God, the more entitled we feel that He should just do what we want Him to do for us. Because the more entitlement we feel, the less thankful we will be. And many of us know we are blessed. We just don't say anything to anyone who helped us to be blessed. Pastor Mark Roberts shares a story about how when he was about to be a college freshman, he was offered a large scholarship from an Ivy League school. The scholarship covered a majority of expenses, including books and housing, and was given in cash. Students who got the scholarship just needed to show up at the financial aid office to receive the money. Well, when he arrived at the office, he was joined by a long line of other students waiting for the scholarship money. He found out that it would be at least 40 minutes to wait in order to get the scholarship money. But he didn't get upset about the wait. Rather, he was actually quite grateful for the financial assistance. However, another student, just a few places ahead of him in line, began to get angry. The other student said, "They shouldn't make us stand in line like this. It's such a waste of time." And when that student didn't get the support for his complaint, he got even more angry, raising his voice, saying, "Let's go! Come on, I got stuff to do!" Finally, he yelled out, "Come on, just give me my money!" See, many of us may not be as upfront or blunt with expressing our ungratefulness like in the story. But instead, we are good at covering up how we actually feel. We can easily take God's blessing for granted. And when things don't go the way that we want them to go, we end up getting angry at God because He didn't do what we thought He was supposed to do, or is not moving as fast as we would like Him to move. Many of us have been abundantly blessed by God, but when things happen unexpectedly, we can actually default to self-pity as we blame God, saying, "Why is God doing this to me? Haven't I been a good enough Christian and done enough to please Him?" Which really means, come on, don't I deserve to get good things from God? I mean, this is like the student in the story, right? Yelling out, "Come on, just give me my rewards." We're in a sermon series called Reliance, seeking God like never before as we learn to go from self-reliance to now God-reliance through 40 days of prayer. And during this series, we've been seeking God for who He is, for the obstacles that we face, and for Him to move in, through, and around us. Our hope is that as a result, you are able to pray with more confidence and with greater faith than before, because you are experiencing God's power in your life. And since our cultural norm is ingratitude, God wanted those who followed him to be distinct from the culture. We read in the Old Testament of the Bible when God chose a man named Moses to free the Israelites from slavery in Egypt. And God spoke through Moses, commanding the Israelites to remember what they had and to be grateful with what they had been blessed with. God said, "For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land of flowing streams and pools of water, with fountains and springs that gush out in the valleys and hills. It is a land of wheat and barley, of grapevines, fig trees, and pomegranates, of olive oil and honey. It is a land where food is plentiful and nothing is lacking. It is a land where iron is as common as stone and copper is abundant in the hills. When you have eaten your fill, be sure to praise the Lord your God for the good land he has given you." Moses had led them into the land that God had promised, where they would become a nation. But Moses warned the Israelites to not forget God when their needs were satisfied, but to remember the source of where it all came from. He continues, "For when you have become full and prosperous and have built fine homes to live in, and when your flocks and herds have become very large and your silver and gold have multiplied along with everything else, be careful. Do not become proud at that time and forget the Lord your God who rescued you from slavery in the land of Egypt. Do not forget that he led you through the great and terrifying wilderness with its poisonous snakes and scorpions, where it was so hot and dry. He gave you water from the rock. He fed you with manna in the wilderness, a food unknown to your ancestors. He did this to humble you and test you for your own good. He did all this so you would never say to yourself, 'I have achieved this wealth with my own strength and energy.' Remember, the Lord your God, he is the one who gives you power to be successful." See, we all can easily take credit for our prosperity and become proud that all we have is because of all that we have done. And when we believe that we are the source of everything we have, we can actually push God out of our lives. So in order to avoid this trap, God is saying to take time to remember the one who has provided for us. It is taking time to give thanks to God and to recognize all of his provision in our life. But God doesn't want us to stop there when it comes to expressing our gratitude. In fact, Paul, a follower of Jesus that we read about in the New Testament of the Bible, writes to the church in Ephesus saying, "I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers." And again, in another letter, he writes to the church in Philippi. He expresses his thankfulness to them, saying, "I thank my God in all my remembrance of you." Here, Paul is encouraging us to take a second step, which is taking time to now thank people for the blessings that we have and for what others do for us. In order to prevent ingratitude, entitlement, self-reliance, or even taking others for granted, we are to practice daily thanking God and daily thanking others. In fact, the psalmist says, "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so." Meaning, when it comes to giving thanks, don't just feel thankful, but say so. When you recognize what someone does, say so to them. When you see the blessings in your life, say so to God. Because feeling thankful blesses you, but expressing your thankfulness verbally blesses you and those who help to make it happen. But the opposite is also true. Because if we don't practice verbally giving thanks to God, we can often forget who the provider is. And if we don't practice verbally giving thanks to others, we are looked at as being ungrateful. Whenever we don't say so and give thanks, we are really communicating that I don't need you and that what you did didn't matter. That is why giving thanks helps us to be mindful of God and mindful of others. It humbles us that none of what we have is possible without God, and it's not possible without others. But God wants us to go beyond an attitude of gratitude to a lifestyle of gratitude. And there is a big difference. See, gratitude is when you thank God or people for what he has given you or what others have done for you. And so the attitude of gratitude is when you now get in the habit of expressing that gratitude to God and to others. But that doesn't require any faith on your part, because what you have is already provided. You can tangibly see it. And so to express that gratitude is merely just courtesy. But in order to graduate from an attitude of gratitude to now a lifestyle of gratitude, it is being able to give thanks when you can't see the blessing yet. It is where you go from giving thanks because of things to giving thanks because of him. See, it's where we thank God not because of the provision, but because of the person. It is where our trust is not in the blessing, but in the blesser. Because we can be joyful and happy when things are going our way, or when we have blessings. But can we be joyful when all those things are taken away, and can we still trust and praise God for who he is? See, an attitude of gratitude is an individual response of thankfulness when something happens. But the lifestyle of gratitude is being thankful no matter what happens. See, Moses showed us how we can be thankful. But a man named David from the Old Testament of the Bible was someone who showed us how to take gratitude to an even deeper level, where it's now a lifestyle, which leads us to then taking time to thank God for who he is, even when we don't get what we want. And David gives us an example of this in his prayer found in Psalm 57. See, when David was a teenage shepherd boy, he was anointed by the prophet Samuel to be the future king of Israel. And with David's trust in God, David experienced tremendous success. First, David becomes the national champion of Israel after he killed Goliath the Philistine. As a result, Saul, the current king of Israel, liked David and called him into his military service, and whatever Saul gave David to do, David did it so successfully that Saul gave him a high rank in his army. Saul even had David marry his daughter, making David Saul's son-in-law. And during all this, David had trusted God, and he seemed to be reaping the benefits. And that's the kind of faith story that we all like to hear, don't we? If we love God and trust him in all that we do, then there is nothing that can go wrong. Only success, right? Wrong. David had hit the height of his popularity. And when the men were returning home from war, the women came out from all the towns of Israel to meet King Saul, and they were singing and they were dancing and they danced and they sang that Saul had slain his thousands and David his tens of thousands. This number one music hit topped the Billboard charts of Israel, and it made King Saul very, very angry. Saul said to himself, "They have credited David with tens of thousands, but me with only thousands? What more can he get but the kingdom?" And from that time on, Saul was jealous of David because he saw David as a threat to his throne. And as a result, Saul is committed to now getting rid of this problem, and so he hunts David down in order to kill him. from being a national hero to now being a national fugitive chased down by the most powerful man in Israel and his army, David is running scared. He realizes that there's only a step between him and death, as the whole army of Israel is now going after him and being chased and having no safe place to hide. David is on the run and hides in a cave in the wilderness of the desert, seeking refuge from Saul. All the blessings that David once enjoyed were now gone. David lost his connection with his mentor Samuel, the one who anointed him king, because David was now on the run. He lost his friendship with his best friend Jonathan because he wasn't allowed near Saul's kingdom anymore. He lost his wife Michelle because, again, David was on the run. He lost his national popularity because now he was deemed as a criminal, and even lost his status in the military because he was being hunted by the same men that he used to lead. But David remembers that even though he has lost it all, he hasn't lost God. In fact, he knows that God can be trusted even though all the circumstances say otherwise, and even though his future looks uncertain. David prays, "Have mercy on me, O God. Have mercy. I look to you for protection. I will hide beneath the shadow of your wings until the danger passes by. I cry out to God Most High, to God who will fulfill his purpose for me. He will send help from heaven to rescue me, disgracing those who hound me." The need for God's mercy was so great that David repeated, "Have mercy," twice. Because by the time David found himself in the cave, he had already encountered several near-death experiences while he had been on the run from Saul. And David asked for mercy because God was David's only hope. Everything had been stripped from David, and so he had nothing else to trust in but God. But even in his uncertainty, David was declaring, "God, you are my safety, even when I have nowhere else to hide. I don't know what tomorrow brings, but I will hide in you." See, all of us will encounter bad things because we live in a broken and fallen world. But David's prayer reminds us that God is our hope, he is our deliverer, and that he is with us even in our danger. David continues, "My God will send forth his unfailing love and faithfulness. I am surrounded by fierce lions who greedily devour human prey, whose teeth pierce like spears and arrows, and whose tongues cut like swords." In spite of his predicament, David made a choice to trust God, and so he talks to God about his problem. Many times, our worry list is longer than our prayer list, but it is in prayer that David reminds himself of who God is and what God is capable of doing. David says, "Be exalted, O God, above the highest heavens. May your glory shine over all the earth. My enemies have set a trap for me. I'm weary from distress. They have dug a deep pit in my path, but they themselves have fallen into it." David declared this to his own soul and onto the Lord himself. He recognized that God was worthy to be exalted, even to the highest heavens. But we also notice that David uses the past tense, saying that the enemies have set traps for him and that they have fallen into those same traps. But when David is praying this, David is actually on the run and none of his enemies have fallen into a trap. But yet, David is praying in faith as if it already happened, even though it didn't happen. David trusted that God keeps his promises and that God had taken care of him before and that God will surely do it again. David refused to put his faith in the appearance of the circumstances, but instead to have faith in God's promises. That is why David could say, "My heart is confident in you, O God. My heart is confident. No wonder. I can sing your praises. Wake up, my heart. Wake up, O lyre and harp. I will wake the dawn with my song. See, the prayer began with David twice asking for mercy. But now David is twice expressing his immovable confidence in God. Though he's on the run facing an onslaught of attacks and alone in a cave with trouble all around him, David's defense is simply to praise God, realizing that his confidence is in God's love and faithfulness. In fact, when others would be freaking out by death threats, David chooses to sing and give thanks to God. We see that David is so joyful in God that he's saying, "Bust out all the instruments and let us all sing to God." He continues, "I will thank you, Lord, among all the people. I will sing your praises among the nations. For your unfailing love is as high as the heavens. Your faithfulness reaches to the clouds. Be exalted, O God, above the highest heavens. May your glory shine over all the earth." David chose to be thankful to God even in his unknown, that his gratitude wasn't dependent if he had plenty or if everything was going his way. But even in his lack, David chooses to be content in God. When everything was lost, David still chooses to praise God. David exalted the mercy and truth of God even from difficult circumstances. And it's important to remember that David's circumstances didn't change at all. But yet, he gave thanks and praise to the one who would care for him. Many of us can fall into giving conditional thanks to God and even conditional thanks to others. Our perspective is often, once I get what I want, then I will thank you. Or only when my situations are good, then I will thank you. But David shows us unconditional thanks. He chooses to be thankful regardless of what he was facing, because God was his source and he knew that God would see him through. God was in charge of David's outcomes. And so David could be grateful and trust God even in the midst of all his uncertainty. David thanked God even when he didn't see his deliverance. See, many of us thank God only when we see our blessing. But David encourages us to thank God regardless if the blessings are here or not. That is faith. And living out that kind of faith exhibits a lifestyle of gratitude. So whatever you have, give thanks. Whatever is done for you, give thanks. And whatever circumstance you find yourself in, give thanks. Because a lifestyle of gratitude demonstrates that God is enough and that we are okay whether we have or whether we don't have, because God is the source that we rely on. He is enough. And so what about you? Is your attitude one of no gratitude? Or do you have an attitude of gratitude? Or do you have a lifestyle of gratitude? One gives no thanks. The second gives thanks only when they have. And the third gives thanks even when they don't have. And your answer to that question will reveal who or what you actually trust in. Is it you, God, or your stuff? Is it you, God, or your status? Is it you, God, or your circumstances? Because if you don't get what you want, can you still give thanks? If your health deteriorates, can you still give thanks? If everything is falling apart or failing, can you still give thanks? If you want to be married, but yet are still single, can you still give thanks? If you have trouble making ends meet, can you still give thanks? If your family isn't growing, or if your family is falling apart, can you still give thanks? And to be clear, it isn't giving thanks for the circumstance, because the circumstance stinks. We can all agree on that. But knowing God and trusting that He always has our best interest, can we give thanks to Him in spite of our circumstance and while we are in our circumstance? Or is our gratitude only dependent if things are going how we want them to go? Can we give thanks for who God is and what He has done? That as believers, He has saved us from hell and promised with Him that we now have a hope and a future even if our wills are not done? Or is our gratitude dependent on getting what we want? So three things to practice this week. Practice gratitude in your prayers to God for the blessings that you see. Every chance you get to say thank you to God, say so. Go through the whole day giving thanks for everything and anything. And when you notice something that God did, let Him know. God, thank you for the heat that I have. Thank you for the roof over my head. Thank you that I can go to the grocery store and get food. Thank you for my thumbs so that I can pick things up and even text. Thank you for sight, for taste, for all these things, etc., etc. If you see it, give thanks to God for it. And I encourage you to even write it down on a piece of paper and just list down everything that you are thankful to God for. And each day, you can add to that list. And I like to set a timer for about 5 minutes, and then I just go and I thank God for all that He has done. And that helps me, and it helps us to now focus on God and to be thankful to God. The second thing, practice gratitude for others. Find ways to thank those around you and acknowledge what they have done in your life. Be specific and say something that they did or for who they are that you are thankful for. For example, hey John, hey, thank you so much for helping me to clean up the office at the end of the day. Hey Tracy, thank you so much for checking in with me and seeing how I'm doing. Hey Bob, thanks so much for forgiving me when I messed up and that instead of just chewing me out, you just talked to me. That meant a lot. So send a quick text, send an email that says to the people around you, hey, I appreciate you, and I'm thankful for when you did this or when you did that. Or write a card that says how big of a blessing they are in your life. Do it for a friend. Do it for a spouse. Do it for a family member. Do it for your kids, a boss, a coworker. It doesn't cost you anything, but it will mean the world to those who receive it. And the third thing, practice gratitude in your prayers to God for who He is, even when we don't get what we want. This can only happen when we spend time with God as we learn to know Him and trust Him. And when we trust Him with our life, we are able to trust Him with our future and our uncertainty. It is choosing to be thankful to God regardless of what we are facing. It is choosing to thank God because we can trust that He is in charge and that He will see us through. It is choosing to thank God regardless of whether the blessings we are asking for is here or not. And that is the lifestyle of gratitude, because you are ultimately trusting in the One who loves you, who is in control, and will lead you to His best for your life. So whatever you have, give thanks. Whatever is done for you, give thanks. And whatever circumstance you find yourself in, give thanks. Let me pray for us. Father God, thank you that you love us and that you're the reason that we can have hope. And you're the reason that we can give thanks because of who you are and what you continually do in our lives. And so forgive us when we go about our days with an entitlement attitude, and forgive us for the times that we are ungrateful. And so forgive us for taking you and even others for granted. And so God, fix our eyes on you So that even though our lives are crumbling around us, we can trust that you will deliver us. And so we thank you for your love. We thank you for your forgiveness. And we thank you for saving us from our sins. And we thank you for the people that you have put in our lives that help us, to encourage us, and to walk with us along the way. You know, as we continue in prayer, maybe you're hearing all this and you're realizing that you don't have a relationship with God and that you want one. You want to experience his love and hope. You want to experience his mercy and forgiveness for your sins. We know that God loves you so much that he came to earth as Jesus in order to forgive you and me for our sins, so that an avenue is created so that we can have a real relationship with him now and for eternity. He lived a perfect life, and then he chose to die for our sins so that we can have forgiveness and have new life in him. And not only did he die, but on the third day, Jesus rose from the dead, proving to the world that he wasn't just a man, but that he's the God who saves. And that is what you want. Now I want to invite you right now to ask Jesus to come into your life, to save you from your sins, and to transform you into the person that you were meant to be. If that is your desire today, then will you pray with me right now, saying, Heavenly Father, forgive me for all of my sins. Save me and make me new. Fill me with your Holy Spirit so I can follow you for the rest of my life. Help transform me into the person that you meant for me to be. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. If you pray to ask Jesus to come into your life, then that means that you are now part of the family of God and that you have a relationship with him. Please email us at info@communitycitychurch.org to let us know of your decision, and we would love to give you some resources and even get to know you better as we come alongside you and help you to walk and grow in that relationship with God. Now go in peace to love and to serve the Lord.